Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. How y'all doing out there? This is Skip. I'm back with you all live again. So, hey, tonight's topic, I don't know how y'all feel, but I'm just trying to figure out. You know, everybody's making this complaint of having this full concern about the immigration situation that's coming across the cities in America. And I just want to know how you all feel, because deep in my heart of hearts, I'm trying to figure out, are we really sincere and concerned about these people that's coming to this country? Or is it just another Democratic political ploy? Because once that they gain their freedom and asylum here, I'm trying to figure out who they're going to be really beholden to. Because, you know, for a long time, when we got free with the Emancipation Proclamation being blacks in America after the Civil War, we can't be holding to the Republican Party for the next 100 years, until 1959 and 1963 when Kennedy became president. So I'm trying to figure out, is this the same political ploy that they use on us, that they're trying to do with these immigrants? Because as it stands right now, we have 17,000 immigrants in Chicago, and the numbers are rising every day. The killing part about it is that there's no concern of nobody else's, but it's always affecting us. I mean, the minority people, the people that don't have the light white pigment, because I don't see no shelters being built up in Cumberland or Lincoln Park. You know, I might be wrong, but as far as I'm concerned, it's like, you know, the displacement of these people just to be around, like they're keeping us all classified under the same umbrella. If you're poor, you're Hispanic, and you're black, we need all to be grouped together. And I feel that that's a slap in the face, because a lot of our politicians that's of color, let's let them have a free reign. So I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out, and I hope I'm not the only one that's thinking like this. Because eventually, I mean, the truth will come out later, but as of right now, so much movement and everything's going on so fast, you can't really tell. So I just want to have a clear understanding of what we're dealing with, so then I won't be having sour grapes and being bitter because they get more privileges than us, and we've been here mostly all our life. So I'm just trying to figure it out. That's why I come to you all tonight. And just trying to just make sure that I get a clear understanding if I don't do nothing else. So the next time the immigrants get on the buses with brand new Columbia jackets, brand new Nike, better clothes than I wear, I want to consider what the situation and what they're under for them to be privileged in all this. Because, hey, you know, you can't mix the apple with the orange at the same time, you know. I just don't like sleight of hand. So I'm just trying to figure it out. And I would hope and pray that we can get a clear understanding of this. Because either way, it's a win-win for the politicians that's letting it happen. Because you better believe these people have an obligation, badly, for the ones that will pass immigration tests and become citizens. And they have to always be beholden to these people. They got them here. So I'm just trying to figure it out, you all. You know, I'm not opposed to them coming. Hey, you know, land of milk and honey, golden opportunity, all the things that they told us, with the exception that they didn't tell us that. But at the time we're on and we may have built this, they're going to make sure that we had that. So I'm just trying to figure it out. That's all, y'all. I'm not, don't get me wrong. You know, if anybody get a chance to get a break, hey, so be it, let them get a break. I'm not tripping, but I just want to make sure that, hey, that's what it's about. It's not about no riff naff or no craziness. So I'm just trying to see where we're at. That's it. I'm just trying to make sure. That's all. Because when it comes down to it, hey, you know, it seemed like they're doing this stuff for a hidden agenda or a reason. So I just want to make sure that I won't be looking crazy
you know, stuck out looking like, hey, I don't know what's going on, because they're doing it, they're moving too fast. Because everywhere you go, you see these buses. You see all these buses. You see them everywhere. You know, and there's nothing that we can do about it because we're not the politicians that have. But at the same time, you know, you got to recognize what's around you so you can function in society. You know, to be really understanding of what's all around you. You know, I cannot emphasize and stress that enough because, man, it's kind of not crazy, but it's kind of awkward that, hey, if you've been here your whole life, you know, and then now all of a sudden, hey, everybody comes in and get a free ghetto pass, you still stuck here looking like, where's tomorrow at for you? So that's all I'm trying to understand. That's really it. Because other than that, we're just going to be lost. Was this a plan to keep us divided? I don't know. But I like to know what it is and what's going on. So I won't be looking stupid later.
Straight up.
That's for real. So that's basically all I want to bring this to you all attention. Because that's where we're at. So I just want to know to be sure so I don't make no hasty judgment or no wicked, crazy inference. That's why, hey, I want to just let you all know. That's it, in a nutshell. Because I drive a bus in Chicago every day. And when I see those type of things going on, I don't have no opposition to none of that. But at the same time, I like to recognize that it do exist. So then I know how to get around it and make it better to my advantage so I don't get caught up in that mess. That's all. So I just want everybody to know I'm sounding the trumpet. So I won't look crazy. We won't look crazy. We did it again. Because that was always based upon them doing what they do. You know? For real. So, you know, I'm just trying to see what's going on so I don't look stupid because I hate to open my mouth and make a prejudgment on something and then I got to eat it later. So that's all I want you all to know. And just, hey, just to have an understanding. So basically, I wonder what a lot of you all views are on this subject tonight because for some silly, crazy way, believe it or not, it's going to affect all of us in some form or fashion, whether it's high tax bills, whether schools are overcrowded, whether we just sitting up here looking like lame ducks and then they'll find out and keep us in the dark about everything else. So it's best to be aware and to be alert than just being just naive in California dream. You know, because myself personally, I lived in California. I never had the dream, you know, because that's how I found out I never had to live. Because I want to see and explore and find out where the truth lies. And I think it's very incumbent on us as Americans that's already here to really get in tune. Because if not, I don't know. I don't want this to be a country where we reward people for nothing. You know, I always grew up on the premise and the idea thinking that, you know, if you really work hard and be committed and dedicated to something, you know, you shall see the reward. So I hope they didn't make that into just some ghetto jargon or political love pride at the moment. Because if the way it's looking right now, it don't really look like that. You know, because I knew they felt that way about us a long time ago when they started giving us public assistance. And it was like, hey, if it was free, we'll take it from the government. But we didn't know at the end of the line that was just another ploy to enable us, make us committed and beholden to the political party that catered to us on that level. And now you got generations of people that still line up on the government to where it enabled us so bad that we won't take that initiative and the effort to try to change it. So I'm just hoping that this is not a continual cycle because it's really vicious. Because it's like sleight of hand. They're always telling you what to do and what not to do. They're trying to lead you astray and trying to make you like, oh, this is a good thing for your best interest. That's what they say. But in the end, does the end justify the means? That's what I want to know. So that's why I come to you all tonight and try to get a clear understanding. That's it. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll talk more on the show. I hope that we can get some beautiful insights so we can understand. We won't be left out in the cold with these people. Because it's getting a little bit close to home, because we got so much vacant spots and lots where people that live here in those areas that can't even afford housing, let alone to make housing for these people that don't even know the alphabet, really. And I don't think that's fair, because it was always that, hey, we'll take your poor, your free, and total masses, like they said in Ellis Island. But when you disperse straight to the hood, it's a whole totally different picture. Because those love crimes on the side of them, it's like they basically out here moving on their own, fishing around, fishing there in the pool. So I just want, you know, everybody to know and to understand that that's what we're dealing with. So, you know, basically that's it. No, I got one caller on the line tonight. I guess we'll be chatting for the next half an hour because it looked like ain't nobody interested or maybe the football game took my argument. That's why within this next week, maybe Tuesday, I'm going to send you all a text message and let you know that I'll be changing the programming date because Sunday night ain't cutting it. Because now we got the baseball playoffs and the football, the last football game on Sunday night, and I don't think nobody was interested. Me running my big mouth, so, you know, I'll send you all the group text and I'll let you all know that we're changing the programming back. So I'm going to get the call of the one and only call I got tonight. We're going to talk and chew the fat. So here we go. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Hey, what up, man?
Hello, Colin.
What's going on,
hey.
Baby?
Same old
What's
baby,
happening?
You know. What can I say?
I know, man. I know, Brian, man. I'm just tripping out, too, man, because, you know, 2 weeks ago I had to go down to the court building on 55 Harrison.
Yeah.
You know, the court building, yeah. The court building,
yeah.
Domestic and warrants and stuff like that, right? So I seen the news cameras and we out there. I seen the news cameras in the crowd. I'm thinking there's something special going on. Man, they got off that bus. They had some immigrants out there. It was kind of cool and windy outside. And the immigrants getting off that bus, man, in T-shirts and shorts. And I'm like, hold on. This is where they're coming from. They're on the stop right here in the front of the court buildings. And then they dispersed them everywhere. You know, and I'm saying to myself, this is a little bit too consistent, man. You know what I'm saying? And I just hope and pray that it ain't one of those coming to a neighborhood near you. Straight up. For real, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, hey,
yeah.
Like they did in Vietnam, you didn't think that the embassy would get taken in Saigon and you woke up one morning and it was right in the backyard. You know what I'm saying? So I was just you know, and it's kind of crazy. Do they get on your bus with brand new Columbia coats on and Nike shoes and fresh blue jeans and whatever else they're wearing, and fresh khakis? Do they get on your bus like that? Because when they used to drive Thermac, that's what they used to do on my bus, man. I ain't lying. They look better than me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. I used to think that too. But, you know. It's kind of, it's like the stuff they get out. Sometimes, you know, when you, if you want to, you can hang around one of them bins and you can pull some stuff out too. You know what I'm saying? I done learned not to really judge. You know what I hate? Judge people on what they got, what they wearing. You know, whenever I read the comments all the time when I be on stuff and somebody be complaining about how they ain't getting a fair treatment.
Right.
And then somebody pop up and they say something like what they say. They say something like if they had trouble with money, why they got a flat screen TV in the living room and stuff like that. And I just can't really do that. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of complicated, and it's a lot of stuff involved, including people's inability to make smart choices, you know?
True. But like I was saying earlier in the show, Brian, I mean, they can only come here if our political officials let them. And I hope and pray this ain't no political point for the Democratic Party, bro.
Well, it's a political point. It's a political ploy for a couple things. To me, it's like follow the money. You know,
right?
You got People getting upset because they like, you know, they're getting all this money. But you be out on the street like I be out on the street. What you see? You see them out there hustling waters and Gatorade and stuff like that.
That ain't somebody
that's living in the lap of luxury, you know.
Right.
And then they did that Freedom of Information Act, and they came and found out that all that money was going to a few businesses, man. It's always the same thing. Yep.
Corruption behind it. Well, look at Black Lives Matter. All they did was find a girl that was ahead of it with a brand new mansion. And $200,000-$300,000 vehicles. And I mean, what have Black Lives Matter, what contribution have Black Lives Matter besides just social media blitz?
That's all
I'm serious.
Is,
did they open up a hospital?
No.
Did they help anybody with school?
No.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like, it's kind of crazy because, you know, it's basically predicated on the survival of social consciousness and we have milk money from it. That's what I get because, man, if you ain't did nothing with the money but fagging yourself, you know, I mean, what's the sense of you complaining and latching on to that? You know, it's like we in the U.S., us, not France, we then me. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's we, but then it's me. As long as I get what I want, you know what I'm saying? And that's crazy because it's people that's really concerned and have problems that really need help, man. You know, that's just like Oprah and The Rock talking about, come on, invest in Hawaii when y'all got acreage. I mean, not little bitty small lots. Y'all got acreages of land out there that we will never be able to step on or touch. But you so gung-ho about helping Hawaii. But was you there when it wasn't no fires? And stuff like that, really helping other people?
Mm-hmm.
So that's after you get on the TV talking about, help us down here, but before this happened, we didn't know you exist. I know The Rock had property down there. Hell, that's where he come from. And I can understand that. I mean, he was sincere, like how when Katrina happened, Harry Connick Jr. was down from New Orleans when Marcellus came in because that's where they're from. Yeah, he was sincere, but, you know, I'm looking at Oprah like, okay, you like Chicago. You got a corrupt politician from Chicago again. Whether she's one or not, she's doing the same way that the corrupt politicians in Chicago do. You know?
You know, that's what I'm talking about this topic, and I was going to segue into it excellently. I was upset because I've never really been, you know, the guy out in Roseland, Tony Beal, you know? And
I saw that thing,
that's what I'm saying, man. And he did some real political pandering as of late, man. You know, that stuff he's doing, he don't care none of that. I was telling my wife, the only reason he probably complaining is because he ain't getting the cut of whatever money he's getting. You know, and that thing that he's doing, it's not doing anything for the situation. You know, it's just it's saber rattling to get his constituents upset and say, yeah, Tony really care about us. You know, and Tony don't care.
He never did, Brian.
He never did
because you know what? You know what? Remember, before Inglewood had most of all the murders, Rosenthal almost took the scale 1 year for over 560 murders, and he wasn't nowhere around. And he was the alderman out there. You know what I'm saying? I've always been kind of feeling funny about him and ignorant Emma Mitz. You know what I'm saying?
Ah, man, we you know you got Emma Mitz. I can go a few more, you know.
Burrell, all of them, because these are the same people that got in off the political love class, but, you know, it's like we call money a sleight of hand. You show them, you know, you tell them everything, but they show them nothing. You know? And that's for real, man. I mean, because remember, man, they're not God, but at certain levels, they have to determine your fate. All of them. You know, when they take that oath, they're supposed to be straight committed to that oath for the welfare and the best interest of the people.
Supposed to be.
Right.
Supposed.
When it comes about, like I said, that French thing, we then me, it's not too cool, man. Because you turn your head to a blind eye. You know what I'm saying? As long as you get that Nella envelope and you'll dance like the Temptation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For real, man.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what kills me because I never thought in a million years that they would sit up here and try to play both ends to the middle. But you know you can't tie your shoe in the middle of the streets because you get hit from both ends, right? And, you know, I'm serious, man. The way that they do that, I don't have no respect for them because y'all the first ones. And then I don't like how that mayor's looking stoic when he's questioned about this. Seriously, he looking like he just seen a ghost. He looking pale to be as black as he is. You know what I'm saying?
He's trying. You know what? Let me tell you something about that whole thing, too. I'm going to tell you something. I mean, Brandon Johnson, in my opinion, he's trying so far.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's my opinion. He's trying. It's just that, let me show you this. He came up with that, he came out with that idea for the food deserts and the city-run supermarket. Hey, man, I was like, that's something nice right there. I know a lot of people, capitalists or whatever you may be, they don't like it. But if Jewel and Whole Foods, all these stores ain't staying in the neighborhood, wouldn't it make sense to have a city-run business that's not trying to make a profit? They just trying to provide a service, break even, and they pay people. And then you got people who will be working for them, who could get their city jobs in essence. You know what I'm saying? Hey, what's wrong with that?
Well, you know what, Brian? You know what killed me, man? That's why I got to look it up on Google and go to the dictionary. It kind of shocked me, man, when I found out that through pork barrel spending, right? I heard of pork barrel spending. That's the surplus left over after, you know, that famous
deadline.
That's
the stuff that
the
pork is the fat.
Right. I didn't know down in Arkansas, Purdue Chicken and all the corporations were paying Scottie Pippen $250,000 a year not to grow nothing on that big farm he had. Seriously.
They're paying them what?
They paying Scottie Pippen $250,000 a year not to grow nothing on his farm. You know, Scottie a country boy down there. You know what I'm saying? And he did something right with his money, even though the board had cheated him out of his contract. But Scottie made some sense to say, if I buy a farm, I'm going to always have some money, right? Because he can grow something on it, cattle and all that. But, you know, the federal government came to him and said, look,
you know what? We'll give you a stipend of $250,000 a year just not to grow nothing on your farm because Purdue's chicken headquarters down there in Arkansas.
Oh,
you know
okay. Okay, don't grow nothing. Yeah, don't produce nothing.
You know what I'm saying? Because if they find out you're growing all this stuff, everybody in the state of Arkansas, just because of who you Scottie Pippen and played with Michael Jordan, will buy from you. And then that will mess with our profit margin at the end of the year. And I didn't know that, and that kind of hurt me, man, because I'm saying to myself, wow, y'all got the power to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To keep the people in the dark? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that was crazy.
Yeah,
because,
to keep a monopoly on that thing, you know?
Yeah. That's funky, man, because, you know, I mean, I feel like this myself, or maybe because I'm poor and I don't have anything, but I know this because I'm just a working class stiff. But I've always felt level the playing field, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to lose, but if I don't make preparation for the game, I can always be beaten, bro. But at the same time, don't you ever tell me you beat me in a 50-yard dash when you had a half a block head start. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
I know exactly what you're saying.
The game was rigged. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't lose. It was just the fact that playing this wicked type of game y'all playing, you set me up never to succeed anyway.
Yeah.
So you know, that's why... When it gets to this bigger level, it goes back to the Erica Badu theory. And Erica Badu was right, as crazy as she might be, that this 85% follow, 10% run it, and 5 know what's going on. I guess maybe I'm going to just be one of them 5, because, man, the math don't add up, bro. Straight up. And as long as they got us mostly, majority of us, Miff and Jeff, still coming back for them breadcrumbs that they're giving us, we never have a voice or nothing to say about this because they're going to always keep the same beat, you know? Because I
don't
forget that
part of the problem.
What's that?
Is that they every time you get somebody in a position, you buy them off. We had talked about that a couple weeks ago, you know what I'm saying? They take you in the little room. They flash the ring at you.
Yeah, which way is up?
And they tell, hey, you gonna work? We need you to do this, that, and the other, and you'll get this money, and you'll keep getting this money in perpetuity. You know,
right?
And that's what they do, man. And that's how they work. That's how they game the system. The corporate money games the system, man.
But. Okay, so let me ask you something then. Define the term between communism and capitalism, because you know what? That's big hypocrisy what they're doing. Don't tell me that's capitalist when it's really just communist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm serious, man. You know, and that's for real, because, man, when you lay up here and do that, you know, you telling me this, but you damn near either, what they call that, like Benito Mussolini, you either fascist or socialist then. Because it's only, y'all like the biker gangs. Only one for 20, y'all running all of it. You know what I'm saying? That's for real. Yeah, man, because, you know, you telling the masses, yeah, this and yeah, that, but at the same time, don't you come in our neighborhood. Don't you do this. Don't you do that. You know? And that's wild because, man, I never thought in a million years that you would say this, but when it come down to it, you told the opposite of what you say. I don't do this, but as time goes on, you wind up doing it better than anybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For real, man.
Yeah.
I ain't lying. You know, have you ever been in relationships with women like that? I don't do this. Next thing you know, time went on, you're being attacked by the killer bees, you know? So, I'm serious, man, like Saturday Night Live, the killer bees,
You know, yeah. For real, man. So all that was like just the 5% contradiction. Yeah, you know, as long as it fits their flavor. And every black politician in all these inner cities where these immigrants are, you know, they act like they just got a blind eye. You know, I don't hear no opposition to none of this. You know, because
yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. What's been happening. You know, my high school been abandoned for 10 years now, right? Calumet?
Yeah, Calumet.
Yeah. It used to be a drug shelter and all that. But it's a school right in the middle of a neighborhood. And, hey, man, that place is big enough to house. It's big enough to house a lot of those immigrants. I'm going to tell you, if all else fails, we got this new alderman in there. And he went up here, and he'll get on the bandwagon, too. You know what I'm saying? He will get on the bandwagon. He will get on the damn bandwagon, and he will let them people be right in the middle of the neighborhood, man. They had them immigrants coming in right in the middle of the neighborhood. Really ain't no safety, ain't no police, ain't none of that. So he will really just go ahead and go with the political flow. That's what's scary. Because, you know what our politicians, not only in Chicago, but in the inner cities of America, they're in the army thing. Don't ask, don't tell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you don't want to know, don't ask. And if you do know, don't you tell. Seriously,
the
man.
Chicago way. Yeah, the Chicago way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's always been that way. It ain't going to never change. It ain't going to never change, man. Straight up. So, you know, I was just wondering, and I was saying to myself, if that's what it's all about, is that what it's all about? Because if so, we need to quit gambling right now, bro. And the killing part about it, remember, our generation was the feisty ones. You know, now that we are elders, all we got to do is put stuff out there as a smoke screen and a deception through social media now. See, ain't no more call waiting, Brian. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You know,
no,
ain't no more call waiting, ain't no more beepers. And they think as long as they can put it out there, hey, they can ride with it. You know, the biggest lies ever told.
Well, there's a manipulation occurring right now. So it's just, it's kind of concerning. And you got a lot of people, man. They buying into a lot of propaganda. And they aren't really asking what's really, like we talking right now, what is it really about? You know what I'm saying? You know?
But you know what? Like I said, remember how we was beholden after Reconstruction, right? Who did all the black people vote for after Reconstruction? What party did they vote for? It wasn't the Wing Party. It wasn't the Populists. That's after we had the Emancipation Proclamation. Then it was one man, one vote, instead of three men make one vote. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we were beholden to the Republican Party because Lincoln freed us, and it was the right thing to do. Now,
well,
out of 17,000...
That was the logic at the time, though. You know, you go where the person who helps you... And I know that logic went on for 100 years.
It did until Kennedy got in, because remember it was the funk about him being a Catholic, the first Catholic to be president, because all the Southern Democrats couldn't stand Kennedy. They felt threatened by him. You know what I'm saying? And his daddy Joe Kennedy had mob ties. So what I'm saying, if it's 17,000 immigrants here right now.
Yeah.
Don't you believe that the ones that didn't make it and get their citizenship, you don't think they're going to be loyal to the Democratic Party? Mm-hmm. Remember in Scarface, they had the picture of Jimmy Carter when they got Tony Montana behind in that office with some immigration people. You know what I'm saying? And that's why they call Miami Little Havana and Cuba down there, because them people still vote Democrat, believe it or not.
Well, you know what, Skip, though, and I'm not trying to, make a stereotype or a downgrade on any group of people, but I don't know. I can't speak for other ethnic groups of people. You know, all I know is what we do. We, we stay loyal. I can't say that these people are going to stay loyal to the Democratic Party. And I can tell you why I feel that way. And the simple explanation is that those people, it's all about what they colleagues and peers, you know, and the propaganda machine nowadays, you know. But if they got all their neighbors, if their neighbors be conservative, and then they get a lot of propaganda, a lot of anti-democratic rhetoric, yeah, you know, they'll make a departure in 20. Mark my words, you know. It might work for a moment, but can't guarantee that it'll last. I can't guarantee that it had the same holding power that it did with black folks.
Yeah, that's true, because remember, man, I mean, they came up here just to get out of what they was at, you know. We was taught to be here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's a different dynamic.
Right, so I always believe that if you chain an elephant to a pole for 20 years, you take that chain
with
off
a shoestring,
he would still be walking around that pole. He won't need that pole.
Yeah.
And that's how they've done us politically. You know what I'm saying?
We don't want to be busy.
Yeah, you know, and it's crazy because, like I said, all the way up until the Eisenhower era, black people were beholden to Republicans. Jackie Robinson, all them people, they were so beholden to the Republican Party that, hey, they the ones that helped us get over the hump with civil rights and all that desegregation stuff. You know what I'm saying? Even Milhouse Nixon. You had a lot of people loyal to Nixon that were black, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, that was around the start. After that, then you start getting into Johnson, and that's when you had that departure. When the Dixiecrats departed from that, and they became Republicans. And I think that's when black folks changed, because they didn't want to be associated with, you know, they couldn't, you know what I'm saying? They were on the outside. They weren't wanted. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They found out that they were in a situation where they weren't wanted. So we made an exodus, and we became Democrats.
Right.
By the time I was a boy, the Republican was a black Republican. Even, you know, my dad was political. A black Republican was a strange thing to me.
Well, what you expect? You had people like Clarence Pendleton and all these nuts and quacks. Yeah, they didn't leave you no room to really, really, you know, understand what their whole purpose was. Because remember, black Republicans was always well-to-do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They kind of remind me of W.E.B. Du Bois and that one, I Don't Like in My House, when my daughter was growing up. Not Grover Washington, but... Yeah, you know, a cultured bougie Negro is going to respond this way and act this way, man. We're lucky I'm on radio, because I tell you the way that we talk around the garage, you know about him. So, it's really kind of wild, because, you know, now to see this and to see what's coming down the street and what's coming next, you know, with the new, with these immigrants and everybody, you know, it's like, what does that leave us? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, that's because... something to think about. That's something to think about. You know, but at the same time, though, I put this on your map. Where were we left before they came? You understand what I'm saying? You know, black people in America we always been in a not so hot type of predicament. So,
true.
You know, so we should have been, the complaining that we doing now, that some of us are doing now, we should have been doing that complaining.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, but why why do we as a people always have to be reduced to be threatened? We take the threat more serious than the action because we don't do nothing about the action, and we get all up in arms about the threat.
The threat.
That's crazy to me, man, because, you know, I feel like when Jim Brown told Richard Pryor, what you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Don't sit back in that corner with that pipe in your mouth.
What you gonna do?
Right. Remember what Jim Brown asked Mr. Fry? If it's that bad, we should go roller skating. I know you're a man and everything, but what you gonna do? Instead of getting in the uproar talking about, man, all I want to do is sit in this corner and smoke this pipe. I ain't finna do nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the physical imagery that I get behind us as a people, man. That same scenario, you know, and all I remember is Jim Brown, what you gonna do? You know, we so concerned and so gung-ho about the threat to where we forgot what the purpose we're talking this stuff for or what we're recognizing it for, man. That's all that burns me, bro. That's it. Okay? Don't say power to the people when all you're doing is passing on stupid ghetto jargon and love cries. It is what it is. You know, the first time in American history in my life, because, you know, I'm a baseball lover, right? I never heard black people talk like Yogi Berra, the Yankees' great catcher. It is what it is at the end of the day, and everybody pick up and latch on to that. No, I'm serious, man, because they're hearing it from somebody else, but they don't make no effort or initiative to change or do anything, man. We just take things sitting down now more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it ain't on social media, we're not concerned about it. You know, and that's crazy because now, I'm telling you, you're going to wake up. And just like I said in the beginning of the show, we think we're so cool and so insulated that, hey, just like down in Saigon, 68, when them fools thought that, nah, they ain't coming down here. They way up in the north. And they woke up that one morning, hey, and they had some terrorists running in the backyard, running all over the place.
And now we at the embassy, huh, trying to get off the roof of the embassy, huh? Not even on the roof. We at the gate trying to get in. Can we come?
Yeah.
We need to. Yeah.
See what I'm saying? That's what's going to happen, because pretty soon, when there's no more use for us,
disagreement with you on that. Let's make the dialogue and let's make the language, and let's start. You know, don't just say, well, what they got or what they doing and what's happening with them. Make it more so. Why come we don't?
Yes. We question within ourselves. That's what we do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, hey, man, hey, you know what? Ain't nobody owed you nothing or obligated to you, bro. Your parents ain't even obligated to you. Look how many black kids look how many parents don't leave them no inheritance, let alone insurance probably to bury their butt. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So how can you come
exactly
to a society and say those same things to where, hey, you know what? There's no obligation. Because it comes down to two things. They make it seem like with all these craziness and social programs that we grew up on, they're getting a feeling of entitlement, an obligation of a government that really says that, hey, we owe you nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that pisses me off as a people, man, because we shouldn't complain or B-I-T-C-H about nothing if we're not doing anything. It's always the people that don't have nothing to bring to the table that are always the first one to crack out in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. You know?
Yeah.
I'm serious, man. You know, and then they all piggyback on the same thing. And that's crazy. Why could you do that? I mean, is that your existence that empty that you're the first one to chime in and talk about that? Well, you know, you ain't got nothing in your book. So what is he talking about? So, I don't know, Brian. It's really funky to me. That's what I say.
It's something to me, and it's been it's been bugging me for since the whole thing started. And when I hear people make that rhetoric and they say stuff, I tell some people, see, because you get a lot of pushback. It's a shame that you didn't have a lot of people here tonight, because you would have got a lot of pushback with that. You might want to repeat this one at a later date, revisit this one, because, you know, people want to get upset about all this stuff, but in the same breath, though, you know, it's been, you've all, look, I'm going to say this, and, you know, you get pushback. People get angry about it when I say it, but you already know, as a black person in America, that everything is working against you for the most part, you know.
Yeah.
So you got to, you know, and that's not saying be complacent with the situation, but what that is saying is don't be surprised when the deal go down, you know.
Right.
That's the way it is, you know. That's not saying accept it, but
no.
Saying what you're saying a little bit different, but I figure it's similar, is that this is something that we should have been doing before this new problem is on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And winter is coming, and you should hear, I don't know if you talk to people, but I talk to people, and people say some of the stuff. And I tell them, I say, you know, if you really think about it, you sound like a white person in blackface, man. The stuff you just coming out your mouth, you acting like this country is set up for you, and you mad.
Yeah.
You sound like white folks, man.
You think about it. Listen to them. Believe it or not, and you know, and they got you missed and Jeff. So bad politically that you thinking that they gonna affect your food stamps or your wheat car.
Yeah.
No, seriously,
but it ain't going to though. That's what I be telling them. I say, man, you need to stop, open your eyes and stop playing. It's enough money for everybody. The thing is, are you getting the money as much as you deserve? And at the same time, like you're saying, what are you doing?
Right. That's what Jim Brown, Richard Pryor, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do? I forgot. Yeah, we did say that. What you gonna do?
Right. Because the thing is this. If you sitting around and you feel threatened by somebody coming by here that knows that there's a great opportunity and know that, hey, I only get $25 a day, if that much, when I work in them sweatshops down there. And I've been here all my life and ain't never had to work, and all I got was food stamps and all that. Now you getting mad at somebody that's going to come over here and get food stamps and
I'm
going to
go bananas. Yeah. You know?
Man, the whole world is falling. The world is falling.
Listen, Skip. I'm going to tell you something. I was watching a thing about Venezuela. Their currency is called the Bolivar.
Okay.
And the Bolivar is so devalued that they had some kids in, I guess it was one of them bordering countries. Maybe it was someplace like Panama. I don't know where it was. They was using the Bolivars as monopoly money. It was play money. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
The kids to play with. The kids was playing with it and stuff. The money is so devalued that they'd have knocked like, I might be wrong, but they'd have knocked like 14 zeros off the money. So, just throwing a number. Say it was like 150 bolivar, 150 million bolivar, is like a dollar or something like that. Now they knocked all the zeros and it's terrible. They ain't got no money, and you wonder why these people are coming. Man, these people, I tell my friends and my family, I say, you better hope that we don't be in some situation like they are, because you mad at them for doing what's natural. That's been going on since the beginning of time. you can't eat where you are. You hungry. You ain't got no idea.
Yeah.
What you think they gonna do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's why it's so stupid. Brian, did I lose you? Brian, I lost you. Yeah, I lost you, Brian. Well, I'll just come back to you later, man, and thanks for tuning in. I'm finna go to my last caller. Here we go. And thanks.
I ain't never going home.
Yes. Hello, caller.
You know, you gotta be able
caller.
To navigate through these halls of this
caller.
Prison. You gotta know how to program.
Caller.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Brother. I lost you. I lost you. You hung up on me, man. I
didn't hang up on you. Maybe my phone is
crazy. It's that digital age,
yeah,
brother. But all I just want to say is in closing is that listen, those people ain't coming here all this. Look it up. Look how they have to get here, man. There ain't nobody coming here for the fun of it.
They determined to make it happen. See, that's the difference between them and us.
Let me tell you something, Skip. Ain't nobody leaving their home just to leave their home. You know that. You got relatives like I got relatives. My folks stay over there in Grand Crawford, and I'd be like, why don't y'all move out? They say it's home. You know what I'm saying? That's their home.
Yeah.
So people don't leave their home unless they have to leave their home. And these people ain't leaving their home so they can get free food or sleep in front of the police station, you know. Right. And that's all I'm saying. Just people need to really just open their eyes and open their minds and think. That's all I got to say.
Right. Right.
You know. Well, hey, brother, thanks for giving me this platform.
Hey, no, thank you, man, for tuning in, because you know what? By us being out there in the front line every day, I don't want to bump my lip or have to put stitches in my tongue from biting it to be like all the other black political young cries. Ooh, that ain't right. Ooh, boogie, boogie, boogie. You know what I'm saying?
Skip, we on the outside, brother. I would have to get on the inside to know. You'd be like, what happened to Brian? Oh, he became alderman,
right.
and now they took him in the room, and he gave up an alderman.
right. The backroom deal. You know, Well, like Hayes promised the Klan after Reconstruction, make me the president, and I'll let y'all have free reign on black people. Jim Crow.
Yeah.
Same thing. Ain't no different. They just took it to a higher level now. It's more sophisticated. Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we get that high school understanding of Lincoln and thinking, Lincoln, like you said, when we were talking a few minutes, like Lincoln freed the slaves and stuff like that. But people don't realize that Lincoln, he didn't want black folks. He wanted to send black folks back to Africa. he saw slavery as taking jobs away from white people. That's what Lincoln.
Yeah.
He wasn't against slavery as much as he was against black people taking away white folks' jobs. And if people realize that, there'd be a whole lot better.
No, I know, and not only that, it was about economics. He was an oily, crooked lawyer from down in Central Illinois that didn't like black people, where Reagan and them come from. But he said he'd do anything to preserve the union because our number one resource of money in America was agriculture through the slave trade. But when the Jewish people went over to Europe with their cousins and came back with mass production and automation with the Industrial Revolution, we knew that agriculture was going to come to an end. So before it came to an end, he went to the South and told the Southerners, now y'all got to pay taxes on y'all slaves unless they human. And if they human, you ain't got to pay taxes on them. And you know, the scallywaggers, they got their money from the South, and the Northern Bank said, I tell you what, let us draw our money out the bank, and then we'll leave the union. He said, y'all ain't going nowhere. We're going to hold y'all hostage because there ain't nothing bigger than the union. That's why they still like Robert E. Lee Day, and they still pay attention to the Auto Confederation, where the states had a power. But he went down there and had the federal government backing him and telling him, hey, let's get it in and get it on. What y'all going to do? And remember his famous words. I'll do whatever it takes to save the Union. That's why they incorporated black troops into the Civil War.
One more thing is that people don't realize the actual, I'm not an expert, but the actual, what I take of the language of the Emancipation Company is that any person, if the states, if they agreed and signed on to that, they could have kept their slaves. If they went back to the Union, if they unseceded themselves, they could have kept their slaves. Now, I don't know how long they would have been able to keep their slaves after the war, but they were able to keep their slaves. People got to understand that. It ain't never been set up for us.
No. I mean, remember, it's always a 50 to 100-year plan with us. I mean, after Reconstruction, we had our politicians, our own businesses and all that. But like I said, when Hayes came down to the South and made a deal with the Klan, that's when Jim Crow was implemented, and it set America back for the next 100 years. And that was by design.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't take the fact that the South got beaten, and they needed something to rally their troops again.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's time for me to roll, and it's almost time for you to roll, but I hope you can work that out. Oh, I got bad news for you, brother. You know, I work PM, so
right.
I might not be able to catch them shows on Wednesday, but I'll be with you in spirit, brother, and I hope it works for you. It's just a rough time of year with you. It's hard to compete with football, ain't it?
Ain't it? Losing all my audience in baseball playoffs, too, at the same level. So I tell you what, Brian, if so, you just hit the link, or like you said, on the Internet, and you can get your rebroadcast. If nothing else, you know what I'm saying? But like I said,
I think I can try to hit the link at the terminal, you know.
right, because remember, it's probably going to have to be the Wednesday or Thursday from regular prime time, 7 to 8 o'clock.
I'll be on the street then, but I'll see what I can do, brother. You know.
Okay, well,
you know, I don't get off this 24. Hey, man, thanks for giving me a little time to say what I had to say, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man, because like I said, I don't want to be no dinosaur, no crazy-ass person walking around here thinking that it's one way when it's not. So then when I do see these people, I won't be so Black Lives Matter. You know what I'm saying? Because I got it off the Internet. No, man. I need to really have a full effect so, you know, we can have some empathy for these people, man. That's what we need the most empathy.
I'm glad you said that, man, because a lot of people ain't coming up with some stuff, man. And winter is coming. What do you they hope these? I've heard people say, well, if they freeze, they freeze. You know, and
that's stupid. That's the most stupidest damn thing you could say, because remember, man, they came up here for a virtue. They didn't come up here just to be coming like we do, just to be doing something. You know what I'm saying? No. These people come up here for a virtue, man, and that's what kills us all, because you know what? Don't be scared of competition. If anything, you should learn how to play the game better. If they're playing better, you talk to them how to play it better. That's what you do so you can be better. Don't look at that as something that, hey, it's a threat. You know what I'm saying?
And at the same time, like you had said it earlier, look, it's a setup, and they put you in the trick bag, man. That's the same thing they've been doing. That's the same thing they've been doing since the Emancipation Proclamation. They got a job at the meat packing plant, and then they're gonna have a strike. So then they roll out. They let the black people work there, you know.
Or
they don't want the black people anymore. Let's roll out the Mexicans. You know, stop falling prey to that silliness. You know.
Right. But you know, lack of knowledge we shall pass. But Brian, we're finna cut off, and I'll catch you next week.
All right, brother.
Thank
all
you,
right,
man.
Have a good night.
Thank you, man.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
Hey, keep it up.
All right.
All right.
Okay, thanks. We'll do.
All right.